SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, about 10 minutes in. Joined by Dick Powell, and in addition to our Saratoga conversations and some look at what's going on at Presque Isle, also going to utilize Dick's presence at the law conference, always part of the busy week of industry hard news and discussions, whether it's the roundtable and the NTRA advisory session, legislative update that Alex Waldrop offers, and so forth. The Saratoga Institute on Equine Racing and Gaming Law, Tuesday, a week ago yesterday, and Dick has participated in different capacities and joins us now. Good morning.
Steve, good morning. I've probably been involved in 17 out of 18, I think it was.
Wow.
There was one period where Ben Liebman had left.
Right.
I was working for Governor Cuomo, and they had not asked me to speak, which is fine. That's their prerogative. Then they raised the price, and I was like, I can't ask a client to pay for this. So I didn't go 1 year. And then Ben sat me back, and then this year was perfect because I was the moderator, so all I had to do was introduce and then shut up. The first part's easy. The second part's hard. But I had a great panel, and Ben picked the panel. But they're all friends of mine, and I've known all of them for close to 20 years. Michelle Fisher, Dave Haslett, John Hyman, Jack Jaworski. And we covered how will we conduct racing, wagering on horse racing in the future. And Haslett from SkyWorld has the advantage, being in Australia, of less regulatory hurdles. So they've been able to do some remarkable things. And he showed us, made a really good presentation, and he showed us a thing where, you know, people take uncashed tickets and they keep running them through the self-service machine to see if it's a winner. Well, they have an app where you could just scan the ticket, and if it is a winner, boom, it automatically goes into your Sky Racing World account. So you don't have to wear out your barcode readers on your self-service machines with people running tons of tickets through. The money goes right into your account, so obviously that's what you chose to do with it. And they have cash out provisions where you could be in a pick five or a pick four, and you know you're alive after three and you got one leg left, and maybe you decide, I'll take door number two and take my money. And it's obviously not going to be anywhere near the money you would have had you taken the risk of going to the last leg. But they're offering that option. Well, Jack Jaworski from Monarch got up and said, we went to the state of California and tried that, and they were told no. So Australia has less rules against gambling. In America, basically, everything is illegal. And then we gradually legalize things. So in New York State, gambling's illegal, and there's been five exceptions over the years that have allowed different forms of gambling, and then sometimes those have generated other offshoots, like the lottery constitutional amendment enabled video lottery terminals, which are lottery games, and I could bore everyone and try to explain why they actually are. So in order to get sports betting, that's, we're already seeing in New York, that's a heavy lift. In order to do fixed odds wagering, which is working well in Australia, side by side with tote. So it's not like they only have parimutuel or they only have fixed odds. They have both, and yet the fixed odds has been the growth area. But in America, most laws are written that enabled parimutuel betting. And we're going to have to either find a way of defining fixed odds in parimutuel terms or getting regulators to understand that there is no difference. But if it legally says this is what's legal and this is what's not, then that means change. Change takes time. Even in New York, if we didn't need a law, we need regulations, we need publishing the regs, we need comment periods. If there is a lot of comments, then they have to take all that into account before they rule. We are going to change a regulation, things like that. So the good news is we're kind of moving, in my mind, a little bit kicking and screaming that we should have been way ahead of the game. But because of sports betting coming into New Jersey and Delaware and Mississippi, everyone's now starting to realize that if racing is going to survive, we're going to need something that's going to be simpler than what we have now. And if we have fixed odds wagering, that would give new bettors the ability to just bet and get the odds and not worry about price drops or anything else like that. Now, what most people don't get is with fixed odds wagering, there are price drops. Now, if you bet a horse at 10-1, you're going to get that 10-1. But you're not going to get 11-1 if it moves up, and you're not going to run the risk of not betting it, and next thing you go to bet, and it's down 8-1. So at that moment, you get those odds, but those odds are fluctuating based on the betting coming in, just like Vegas moves lines. You know, big bet comes in, boom, line moves. So it is fixed, but it is dynamic. And that's what people would have to get used to, which I'm sure they would. New Jersey did a thing that Michelle talked about where they have prop bets with sports. And they started this on Hamiltonian Day and on Haskell Day. And they're new and they're growing. But during the football season, you might see, especially in Jersey, some decent prop bets with you know, the Jets going over and, you know, so-and-so winning and or, you know, however they tie it into a horse race. So that's on their table, not on the rest of the state's tables yet. And then, as you said, the roundtable addressed some of these issues and stayed out of the LASIX business and focused a little bit more on the betting side of business, understood that if we're going to watch racing, it'd be nice to have it in high def and not every track can afford high def. So they're willing to help subsidize high def distribution, which is great. The only thing I don't get with the roundtable, and we all talk about Hong Kong. So the only thing they talked about Hong Kong is single tote wagering, and how Hong Kong's doing it, and I don't know what the results are. But they never mentioned Hong Kong has the most computer players in the world, and that virtually every computer bettor got their start in Hong Kong because, number one, Hong Kong allows it. They have terrific security, and then they have big pools where computer betting works better than, obviously, if you have small pools. So they never, like, we all want to be like Hong Kong, but then we don't want to do what Hong Kong does in order to be like Hong Kong. So that's where I kind of divert from the pack. But it was the Albany law, the entire, besides my panel was good. But all the other panels, the one on immigration, and Jennifer Durenberger does this thing on animal welfare that really makes you think, because it's not she gets into a lot of gray areas that make you think. The luncheon speaker was Dan Spillane, senior vice president of the NBA. So he obviously had a lot to talk about regarding sports betting. They had a thing on Indian gaming. They had another thing on sports betting. And then the final panel was kind of an overall future of gambling, which had a bunch of different people. Pat Cummings was on there. And Gary Pretlow, who's the assemblyman and the head of the Assembly mm-hmm. Racing Committee, he pointed out that the reason it hasn't passed is the Assembly has 150 members. And, well, at least 70% of them are Democrats. Gary said, if we don't have a majority in our conference, it doesn't go to the floor. So he said, I have 40, he said 40, I don't think it's quite 40. But he said, I have 40 yes votes from the Republicans, but I don't have enough yes votes from my conference majority to take it to the floor. Now, that may change between now and when they come back in January, but I don't expect them just to be front and center. So maybe it gets passed next spring. Maybe they get rules and regs written. And then, but clearly, I don't see how they can make this year's football season. So that was interesting. Again, number one, Gary's always candid. But he explained that very well as to why we're not quite there yet in New York. And then Jessica File, who's an attorney, she did this presentation on esports. Now, esports, to people like me, you're like, you know, I mean, I'm yelling at my grandson for playing Fortnite too much. But then maybe you could be the best Fortnite player in the universe and play in these tournaments for big money and have people betting on the tournaments. So they have these esports lounges, and I know Vegas had this Golden Tee tournament, the golf game, that had thousands of people out there not only competing, but they had betting lines on the various players, and they have teams. So that's something that's just taken off on its own. And unless you're at that age group, if you're older than that age group, you have no idea what's going on. So it covered a lot of things. Ben did a great job. We kept it to one day, which is good. The two-day format, I didn't like. So it was an intense day, but a lot was covered. And then the roundtable had their thing on Sunday, and I tried to pay attention as much as I could to what they were talking about.
Were you surprised? Key in on the fixed odds, because it's actually provoked some discussion on Twitter, and I had Matt Hegarty yesterday, and I was very surprised and encouraged at how horseplay centric the roundtable was. And you know, the conference, your conference, always, you know, has a variety of topics, including tote and horseplay related, but for the roundtable to be as tied in to handle and to take out discussion and innovation discussion, I thought was noteworthy and encouraging. And the tab model we've discussed for years here. I mean, going back to when Stan Bergstein was alive, and you know, Stanley sent Lee Tomlinson to to Australia to write that paper about TAB, about the fixed odds system.
I remember, but I don't remember who was sent.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was Lee Tomlinson, and it was somebody well known. And I'll dig this up. I haven't talked about this in years, but I've alluded to it. The opportunity to use fixed odds in a parimutuel setting, and Tabcorp in Australia, New Zealand, they pioneered this in the 90s. I mean, this is not something that has happened in the last 10 minutes, but they were way out in front, and it's only in recent years that it's taken root, and it's within the platforms, and it's basically going to eclipse the parimutuel side of things in short order. The benefit for us, and Dick, you know, given your experience, do you agree and believe that if fixed odds wagering were available, in addition to offering some solace and safe haven for players that are frustrated by, you know, by fast-moving odds late in the cycle, that it offers a great way to introduce the game to people who are confused by the way the parimutuel tote moves, and that if they go to the window with 9 minutes to post and see a horse at 6-1, giving them a ticket that guarantees 6-1 is a much easier introduction to horseplay than the current model we use.
Yeah, and that's part of it. I don't think that necessarily keeps people out of the game. I think what keeps people out of the game is they come to a track and it's so confusing with the bets and the picks and the, you know, you look at a track, they got a pick six, but they also have a pick six jackpot. And for newcomers, that's They're not going to embrace that. But this they could embrace, and we have various models around the world. We have Britain, which has mostly bookmakers, some tote, and British purses stink. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. With the exception of the big races, day in, day out, their purses are horrible. France has no bookmakers, and they have tremendous purses. They have a very healthy thoroughbred and standardbred game. Half the betting in France is on standardbreds, so they only have one. Australia historically has had both. I've been to three Melbourne Cups. There were bookmakers in the stands at their posts. If you want to go over with bet with them, you have every opportunity. But what I found fascinating was I went on a self-service machine because the lines were pretty long, and I get on a machine and I make a bet, and this button highlights and says, do you want to lock in? And I'm like, yes, and I locked in at 10 to 1 on the horse I bet. Now, that's pretty creative. I mean, that's like that's like 25th century for the United States. You know, we're so far behind. So then companies like Skywell Tabcorp have just revolutionized other things within that world. And Dave's presentation was, we're telling bettors you only can bet this amount on this on this bet type and whatever. He said, we have to flip it around. The bettor should be in charge. And he gave the example with the flexi betting, which is a really nice idea that you want to bet a pick four, and you only want to bet $40, and then you decide, I want to add two horses on the last leg. Well, they still take the bet for $40, but you got less increment. You know, you might only have a 67 cents pick four instead of a dollar pick four, something like that. So they give that ability to the customer so that instead of sitting there trying to figure out, now, how much is this going to cost? If I add a horse, how much is it going to cost? Well, if you only want to invest 40, you invest 40, and you can add as many horses as you want. They do have limitations on that, but that's the crux of it. So, yes, as far as getting new people into our game, I think it would help, especially new people that are now going to be legally able to bet on sports. That we're gonna get bombarded with sports. We're gonna get bombarded with sports statistics, analysis, analytics, everything else. Well, we have our own analytics in horse racing, and we should embrace that more. But we should have a simpler system. And I know someone who has a system. He's not American, unfortunately. It's not available in America. He can take any race and do a head-to-head bet. One against two. Create odds based on some historical data about their chances of winning. I mean, that's technology-wise, that is available. Now, has it been introduced? No. Has it cleared a gazillion regulatory hurdles? No. And it's kind of funny talking about regulatory hurdles because I'm not an attorney, but I'm in front of like 150 other attorneys. So, you know, my thing is, well, you guys might be the problem. We got too many attorneys.
Well, it felt to me, as always, Dick, these are the conversations. I know there's always a certain percentage of observers from the outside that think, oh, they have these presentations, they have these seminars, symposiums, whatever, and little is accomplished. But that's a very short-sighted view, because getting people together and getting these discussions out there. I mean, the McKinsey, for an example, that McKinsey study from 2011 and the follow-up on Sunday, it shows you how important, in fact, these presentations are. And it helped force the industry and encourage the industry to get the game, you know, back in front of faces. And even though the McKinsey study suggested that, you know, the handle numbers were going to continue to decline, in reality, that the most stunning part of the presentation really on Sunday was that, in fact, the numbers have actually been much better than originally expected 8 years ago, give or take, when we were still kind of feeling the after effects of the economic meltdown. So these are important get-togethers, and it also offers people from all over the country and around the world to exchange ideas and make contacts, and things, productive things do happen out of these kinds of get-togethers.
Yes. And I go to enough of them, and some better than others, and I try to attend every panel. If a client is nice enough to send me to a conference, then I'm going to go to all the panels, even if they're not relevant to my client. And I learn a tremendous amount, and I meet just a wide variety of people. Now, another point Dave Hassler made, and this is very important, fixed odds wagering has clearly a different financial model than parimutuel. So in parimutuel, we're used to, let's say we're doing $11 billion, and that might generate 20% revenue out of that $11 billion based on the takeout. Well, the takeout in fixed odds wagering, especially if it's just, it's pretty much win or lose, is much lower. So he said in Australia, parimutuel has dropped maybe 5%. Fixed odds has grown. The total has been a net positive because purses have gone up. But he said you have to be careful trading 18 cent dollars, which would be the parimutuel, into 10 cent dollars, which would be the fixed odds. So in other words, if we went completely to fixed odds and we did 11 billion, let's say we did 12 billion, that would be a financial disaster because you're not going to be taxing fixed odds bets at 18%. It's not going to work. So he gave that caution, which was very, very important to hear. And it'll be interesting to see, Jersey right now has just a built-in advantage with the track being owned by the Horsemen at Monmouth, and Garral seems to be open and amenable to doing things at Meadowlands, and the casinos now are getting into it and getting back into sports betting now that they have that ability, and they don't seem to have as many regulatory hurdles as certainly we do in New York and other states that want to get into this. So there was talk about, and within the conference there was talk about, writing legislation, writing rules, writing regs, making sure you're opening yourself up to doing some of these other things. In other words, you just say, we're going to legalize sports betting. Well, you're going to be a little more broader than that because you don't know where this stuff is going to go. I mean, betting on esports, that's unimaginable. And yet, that's becoming a growth industry. Not just a growth industry, a wave. So that's something that could, I'm not saying it would hurt racing because the people in racing don't even know what esports are, but the people playing esports would then be very unlikely to ever get involved in racing. Just two different worlds. So it was enjoyable. My panel did an awesome job, so I was very happy to sit there and let them talk.
No, I love it, and I appreciate the recapping. Let's get a quick Saratoga glance and any thoughts since we spoke last week, and then, of course, what's going on out in Erie.
Well, I do a daily diary every day on the Twin Spires blog, and I wrap up on Tuesday. So what I did yesterday was I wrapped up week four, and then I wrapped up the first 22 days of racing, and came up with some just various trends. And like David Cohen, I like David Cohen in race eight today, and he has 9 wins all on the dirt, doesn't have a single turf winner. Can David ride turf? Of course he can, but historically he rode Aqueduct. This past year, he rode Oaklawn. Guys like Santana ride Oaklawn in the winter, so they don't get those turf numbers that you'd get riding Gulfstream. So you look at guys like Cohen, and Cohen on dirt, he's a force. And then there's been some other guys like Junior Alvarado with 13 wins. And I also noted a couple of the jocks. I don't have it in front of me. I apologize. But some of the jocks were winning for like 13 different trainers. And that always strikes me. I remember when Ramon came up, and Ramon was just killing it. And he didn't have a go-to trainer. And yet he was leading rider, riding for over 20 different trainers. So when I see that, that tells me that person is riding really well. Obviously, Castellano has, I think, 12 wins with Chad, and Johnny and Todd have 7, stuff like that. But then when you kind of dig deeper, the fact that they don't have a lot of go-to trainers and they're still riding well tells me, well, that's the agent's doing a good job, and don't be worried about if this rider shows up for a trainer that he doesn't normally ride for. It might be a live mount. So I did that. Presque Isle, I continue. I can't explain this, despite my phenomenal success giving out horses on the Steve Bick Show. If I'm betting them, like the last night, the night before, I either have the lead and get run down, or I'm coming from behind and I don't get there. So very frustrating, including last night. But the typical Morales, Gallardo, Connolly, Brooks, none of that has changed. So what I did was I went through which combinations are hot, in the sense that anytime Morales rides for Connolly or Jerry Brooks or Gallardo rides for those two, yeah, the win percentage is going to be high because it's always high. So that doesn't tell me much. But when I see a guy like Uber Villa Gomez, who's an 11% rider, where he's 27% with Ron Potts, well, that gets my attention. Adiel Ayala is a 14% rider. He's 38% with Glenn Wismer. That gets my attention. And then there's a negative stat with Uber Villa Gomez. He's 1-43 riding for Randy Russell. Not quite sure why. Randy's a 7% trainer, but you would think Villa Gomez would be moving those horses up a little bit. So I'm kind of focusing on them. Tonight we do have some classic horses for courses in race 5. We have Birds Gone Wild. 19 starts, 10 wins, 2 seconds, five thirds, man. And then in race 6, which is our first play today, race 6, number 1, is, let me find it, race 6, number 6, iZoom. This is Ron Potts. This is Uber Villa Gomez. And this horse has won 11 out of 24 starts at Prescott, and unlike some of those classic horses for courses, which have, you know, basically 5 claimers that just keep racing and racing because the Tapita surface is so kind on them, this is a 12-5 claiming mare that's still, I mean, she won 49,000 last year and 20,000 this year in 3 starts. She won last time out against 12-5. She moves up a little bit to 18, but that's no big deal. And I think she's in a good spot, stalking the pace from an outside post. Obviously likes the track, and obviously a good trainer-jock combination. So we went with her in race number 6, and then in race number 7, number 4, Pizza Man Pete. This one is owned, trained, and bred by Glenn Wismer. He goes to Adiel Ayala, 38% together, and those are just the last 60 days. And he added blinkers in its 3rd start, improved, then broke its maiden going a mile, turned back to 6 furlongs when he moved up to state bred allowance conditions, was an even 4th, and now he stretches back out to 2 turns for Wismer. And they have him at 12-1 morning line. I think to stretch out back to a distance that he's already won at, and the fact that he's already shown he can compete with, now 1-1, it's 12-1, man. I'll be playing tonight. I hope Addy Lila can get him home. Not that I'm going to get him home. So 2 plays tonight: race 6, number 6, iZoom; race 7, number 4, Pizza Man Pete.
I'm getting a word actually that iZoom is going to scratch.
Oh no. Is he because one of the horses that I liked last night ran last night, and she was entered in the stake, the Satins and Lace, on Monday. But Pizza Izum's going to scratch. Well, that's unfortunate. I don't know if maybe I didn't check if she was entered in the stake Sunday. Well, that's unfortunate.
Well, rework. If you come up with something, I'll tweet it out.
Underneath that one, I like number one, Passionate Emotion, for Ron Potts and Antonio Gallardo breaking from the rail. So we can be flexible. We can go down to number one. If the six doesn't run in race six, we'll go with number one, 9-2 morning line breaking from the rail.
All right. Well done.
And for the record, I tried to come over to the track to see you today.
I appreciate it. There was just too much to do. As it happens, iZoom is entered back, not in the stake, but in a race on Sunday.
Oh, I see. I haven't even looked. I haven't even done Sunday. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Dick Powell, I appreciate it.
We'll take a break here and come back and round out the morning. Spend the last 20 minutes with Seth Merrow. We'll do some handicapping and the scratches at Saratoga, including Shang 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 does come out of the Bolton Landing. But don't worry, Wesley Ward is plenty represented. He's got Chelsea Cloisters in there and Stillwater Cove as well. So Wesley takes the Ascot winner. You will not be seeing the Norfolk heroine, I should say, of course, Philly. You will not see Shang 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 today. Look elsewhere. Maybe Keeneland. Back after this. Busy Wednesday at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
Back at the races, 15 minutes. Now you're ready for the start of week five. There are 3 weeks left, and the first half of the meet, if you got a little stymied and you got a little hot and dirty and wet and muddy, well, you got a chance in starting out fast and firm today. And everybody has really only one thing in mind if they joined us for Loose on the Lead Sunday. Paul and Duke Matisse with just a wonderful 45 minutes. If you missed it, be sure to pull it up at YouTube. I'll send a link, actually. I forgot to do that when I mentioned it the other day. Everybody's been asking, they want to know when it comes to Seth, how is the melon?
Excellent. Excellent. I'm a melon eater, and that was one good melon.
These are the little sugar cubes that I brought, and I completely confounded Duke and Paul.
Well, and you said you were keeping it, you were being coy, you were keeping it close to their vest where you bought it because it's so good. You want to spread the word, and I will verify. Very good melon.
Now, and these are little tiny. They're the size of like a duck pin bowling ball. And for those that ever did candle pin or duck pin, and Paul was making fun of me. Before his appearance, if you were on Twitter, you would know that.
check your Twitter feed. Check your Twitter feed.
Oh no! Oh no! No! Where I don't see anything.
Oh, I didn't add Steve Vick, so it's got to be there. Maybe you have to look. Maybe you have to look for post you were tagged in. Maybe.
I've been on 8 or 9 years, so I'm pretty good. I don't think you found the right Steve Vick, is my guess.
You with the underscore in your last name.
Yeah, that is right. That okay. Steve underscore Vick. Yeah.
There's no telling. I made a ton of wrong, but that's what I did.
Well, are you Equidaily? Did you finally find?
Seth Merrow 2. I went with that. I just went with that. I didn't like it, but I went with it.
Seth Merrow 2. This is so exciting, and the public is beside. Oh my gosh! And you used the photograph. You didn't center it very well, but
no, I centered it pretty good. That was like a complicated process. I thought I got it all right though.
Well, your forehead is sort of chopped off. We'll work with you.
Cuts off the balding head. Maybe I would go for that now that I'm looking at it.
This is great, and I do see it. For some reason, it did not. That's weird. It did.
It was the right address, though, right?
Yeah, it is. The address is right. Well,
I said I aimed it at you and Serling, the two guys who have been punching me to get on for the past 2 years.
Well, I'm embarrassed that I'm only follower number 6, but I join good company. Phipps Stable Fan, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, Kimberly Weir, Maria, and David Navarre, they are following you so far. So,
Without a tweet out. I had 5 people and I hadn't even tweeted.
Outstanding. Oh, you would from you signing up, they found you.
I guess.
Well, you will have 100 followers by midnight tonight.
That's what I'm looking for. The more the merrier.
Now,
I'm going to be the fun addition to Twitter. I'm going on the gram too. Instagram. But when you're with it, it's just the gram. So folks can be looking for me soon on the gram.
Well, I think the hip crowd calls it Insta, but all right. We'll let you
use it up a notch. I've taken it up a notch.
Hopefully these appearances on these platforms last longer than Seth's Facebook experience, which
I'm not going back there. I was not happy with that.
Well, you were smart. You didn't allow yourself to be, to be assaulted by Russian bots.
I could see that coming. 2 years ago, I could see that coming. So it was like a 3-day experience, and then I was out.
Well, I'm letting people know right now. This is very, very exciting, and I'm going to send out the follow Seth Merrow and welcome Seth warmly to Twitter. And you can link, stories. Ah, this is great. This is so great.
I timed it just for your show.
I am very appreciative. When I see you later, we'll fix your photograph. All right.
I kind of like it the way. I guess I can move it down a little.
Yeah, you. Well, you've got such a majestic head of hair, or at least you used to. I could give you that picture of you and me and Chuck Simon at the sales 15 years ago.
No, I don't know if it was much better then. It was probably a little bit better. But
it was. You'd be surprised, actually.
I could pull up my high school yearbook picture. Then I was a full head of hair, long and lush.
Well, we're going to hear, folks, here. This is, as they call it on the sales front, this is a flash sale. We're having a special deal, Seth Merrow 2. Follow now up till noon. Right now, we're up to 19 already, Seth.
Oh, wow.
21. Can we get to 50 before noon? It's like a telethon.
Now I'm obligated to tweet something else out today.
It's unbelievable. They're rolling in. Welcome, Jennifer Kelly and her great book about Sir Barton. And Jennifer, you're obviously listening. I've got a picture of the Sir Barton sign down in the lowlands, the Triple Crown winner signs at Saratoga. I've got one. I'll email it to you today. Got a couple different angles. Welcome, Connie Bush, our friend Dan Hart. Skip Dickstein is following you now. Congratulations. Rob G. And Betty. Capital OTB. Leslie Knopf. You've got New York Times writers following you. It's a sensation.
It's the power of At the Races. That's exactly why I timed it for your show.
Connie, let me get everybody. They're going to be insulted. Connie Bush, Pat Cannon. Skip is offering you an exclusive photograph, a Skip Dickstein, a Skip's Cam
upgrade.
Original, an upgrade. I took the other picture, you momza.
Well, come on. He's a professional. Yours is good. I'm using it. But he's a professional.
His is going to be hard pressed to beat mine. Mine's got the Paddock Pavilion betting area in the background. It's got real charm.
I do like it. I do like it. I look good. I'm smiling. I do like it. You know, 33... the more I'm looking at it, the more I like it, because you can't see my head of hair, but it almost looks like there's a Superman curl there, which makes me look kind of cool.
That's you. That's you, the Clark Kent of Amsterdam. able to leap the Sanford Mansion in a single bound. This is unbelievable. 33 followers now. This is very 35 make it. They're rolling in. This is a sensation. Housatonic right. Bloodstock, welcome to you. John Cleary and Chris McDonald, Pat O'Brien. This is amazing. Garrett Tellerico, Sassy Lily, Cliff Twist, Big Macher, Newport, Marty McGee. This is amazing. Congratulations,
the running
Seth.
Jokes. This is better than the running joke.
This is exciting.
An exclamation point on the joke.
35 now. This is so great.
I have just refreshed the page, too, so I'm kind of looking. And what's interesting is I'm getting all these people. I'm looking up at the top of the page. I've made one tweet so far.
Well,
think what will happen when I get in for real.
Exactly. That's what That's what is so exciting. Seth Merrow, everybody. And here's how we're gonna exponentially grow your following and make you into the Seth Merrow brand. We want to be in the Seth Merrow business. Some picks for today, please. And you better not miss. This is your moment.
I want to be one of the racing Kardashian of Twitter.
Break the internet.
Exactly. That's going to be the game plan. We'll break the internet. Fourth race today. And I'm full of scratches. I should have done that earlier, but I just got off the air a little while ago.
Well, you've been so busy on Twitter.
I'm assuming we're still on the turf, right? Correct?
Nothing. Yeah, it's fast and firm. Yeah, okay. Not even.
So the fourth race. I had a little three-horse exacta box, and it's a short field, so let me take a look and make sure it makes sense. But I went 6, 7, 4, and 2, and I thought the top three kind of stood out here. So, you know, we have 8-5, 5-2, and 12-1 on Royal Aspen, so that's the one that might add some value there. But Bowl of Kisses and Avery Mauve looked logical, and if that one comes in, you know, maybe you get your money back. But Royal Aspen, I thought, coming in for Presque Isle Downs with some decent little workouts for the second start of the year. Like I said, I thought that might be a little bit interesting, and that 12-1 might add a little love value to the play. So, again, I'm going to box up three in there, 6, 7, and 4 in the fourth race.
What else?
I don't know. The two-year-old races are always fun. The two-year-old race in the fifth that kicks off the pick six, State Bred Maidens, I went 7, 4, 1, and 2. I thought Don't Tell Addie would be interested in the career debut. Worked 10.3 before the May sale. There was a sibling called Spun Clear that did take 7 starts to win, but was second in the first 3 starts of the career. Comes in from Churchill. Now, comes in, I think, to try New York breads, but you would also have to think there were some options at Ellis if they wanted to stay down in Kentucky. Obviously, with the $75,000, this is a more attractive spot financially. But I think this horse could be live in the career start. And then I use Roddy's horse underneath. The Dam herself was a sibling to Bustin' Stone, so D-Sis. Underneath. So in the fifth race, I went 7, 4, 1, 2. And where was the other? I think what the last race today was the other baby race, right? Yeah, the last race, Maiden 75.
It's a 3 and up. Yeah. What'd you do there?
But it's Maiden. I had an 8, 3, 2, and 10. Put King Orb on top, making the Maiden special weight, the Maiden claiming move for Todd Fletcher. I don't know. Will we get that 7-2? I think if we do. There's some value there. Luis Saez on board. He's a kitten showing a first-time gelding symbol off of some decent tries against Maiden Special Company. But if you go 2 back, this horse was in for the 75 tag and just missed. And Midnight Tea Time off a couple of decent numbers in the past couple of races, but also making that Maiden Special to Maiden claiming move. So in the 10th and final, I went 8, 3, 2, and 10.
Tommy Bush is got a huge shot in there. Clyde's Runner, the 4, 12-1, and he's the right price key to play around with. And I technically put overnight success on top. I went 10-4, but I will bet Clyde's Runner. Tom Bush has had horses run well and have had miserable trips. So, Tommy Bush's day today in the nightcap. It's a card that builds momentum. The front half is a little, as we say in Yiddish, unga pachka. But Seth, congratulations on your outlandish success. 63 followers as we say goodbye this morning.
And I am quickly becoming the Kardashian of horse racing on Twitter. So that's the goal. Keep jumping on, people. I'll have something big coming up this afternoon. I'm already planning for tweet number 2.
Well, and that will probably be Seth's drinking itinerary tonight on Caroline Street. He will tell you where he will become increasingly inebriated later today. Look forward to that.
I have vowed I am not showing pictures of my lunch. When I do that, people can alert me. I've become too right.
And no drunk tweeting, please.
No, that will not happen, believe me.
All right. Seth Merrow, folks, some ideas. 65 now with a minute to noon. When I check back tonight, I'm going to up the estimate to 250 by midnight.
I'm asking them all. Jump on. More the merrier.
I want to thank Seth, who's such a great sport. Good luck today. By the way, Artie Magnuson is involved today in that fifth race, Nova Girl, his first start of the meet. And Artie deserves more horses. He's terrific, does a great job. Wonderful visit with Shug today. Pete Fornatale, Sid Fernando, of course, and Dick Powell. And my television partner, Loose on the Lead. I'm the one that's the runoff. HRRN today at 3 o'clock. Stay around for that. Sirius XM back with you tomorrow. Thursday edition. Things are flying by. We'll have the Alabama feel for you and much, much more. Good luck today. My picks are up. I'll make the late pick 5 and late pick 4 ticket up shortly. We'll see you there at the races.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, that's top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seat, a $12,000 value each. Free registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.